When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of Into the Night is brought to you by our loyal listeners and followers. Fazbear Entertainment appreciates your viewership and those who support the show by commenting, sharing, and subscribing. If you wish to support this broadcast, please consider checking out the official merch store and Patreon for more information.
This episode is a continuation of our Security Breach audiobook series. If you haven't watched from the beginning, we recommend starting at episode 26, Security Breach, and listening to all episodes up to this point to know the full context of the storyline so far.
Recall notice. Please take all Monty Mystery Mix to the frozen ice cream storage behind the bowling alley. Additional instructions to follow.
The past few minutes had been nothing short of chaotic. After a prolonged separation, Gregory and Freddy, the Faznamic duo, were finally reunited. However, their partnership had been discovered by Vanessa, who had planned to keep Freddy trapped in Parson's service until the following morning. Now, they had to be cautious about their movements, as both of them were under security watch. But this wasn't the only change in Gregory's survival strategy. While Gregory was down in the warehouse connected to Parson's service when Freddy was captured, he encountered in his spelunking the Playpen, a disturbing daycare designed for teaching newly built endoskeletons how to behave. It was utterly macabre, but he did gain a bit of insight into how the glam rock band truly operated, or, at the very least, how they currently operate. Every single glam rock, barring the possible exception of Freddy, now runs this completely abusable and easily exploitable Mimic One program, which had animatronics learn behaviors by copying visual cues, but without any moral barriers or ability to interpret nuance. After learning what laid behind the curtain, or at the very least behind the silver eyes of the animatronics, Gregory had, what could best be described, a change of heart regarding how he viewed the Glamrock animatronics. That being, screw them. They were never exactly innocent bystanders in all of this, but now knowing how they were raised, it became clear to Gregory that he shouldn't be looking for a way to save them or convince Freddy to persuade them to back off. They would never listen. In fact, they may not even have the brain capacity to be fully aware of their actions. Instead, Gregory thought it would be best to cut them out of the equation as quickly as possible. They were like a row of dominoes placed in a maze of bear traps. It was treacherous, and the path to his goals were arduous. But once he knocked one over, the rest should fall much easier in comparison. From the blueprints he had examined at Parson's service, Gregory discovered that every single robot, except for Freddy, had recently undergone an upgrade deemed too dangerous or unsafe by the Fazbear engineers. If Gregory could decommission the Glamrocks, he could salvage their parts in the return to Parson's service to integrate them into Freddy, essentially transforming him into his own personal Gundam mech. But before he could even contemplate taking the fight with the Glamrocks, Gregory needed to arm himself. Freddy recommended something to disorient his friends, a Fazcam or Phaser Blaster, to flash bright lights into their ocular receptors, causing a system restart of sorts. Interestingly, Gregory recalled that older models of the Fazbear band had similar issues. A bit embarrassing that after 30 years, the robots still had the same defects across generations of advancement, but then again, they were also running on their incredibly expensive and dangerous robots on learning software, with the same level of intelligence as a newborn baby, so he guessed it wasn't too surprising. Gregory was told that the only two places that could possibly have what he was looking for were Phaser Blaster itself and Monte Gator Golf, where Fazcams were both sold and often confiscated. To gain access, he would need a year-round party pass because apparently his 4 security badges didn't cover the necessary credentials. The more Gregory understood the bureaucratic complexities of Fazbear Entertainment security, the more he started to relate to Vanessa. He too would lose his mind if he had to wrap his brain around such nonsensical security measures. Not that he was going to admit that to her. As Gregory returned to Rockstar Row, he spotted her patrolling the avenue with a very angry expression on her face. He decided to wait her out, which took a prolonged period of time as Freddy had to remain hidden in the back of the hall of Rockstar Row to avoid being spotted outside of Parks and Service. This, of course, also meant that he had to spend so long waiting that the lights went out again and that the moon had sprung from his daycare. But, thankfully, Gregory had already retrieved the party pass from Chica's green room by trekking through the vent system he navigated through when he had first met Freddy. An animatronic recharge station was also in the back of Chica's green room, and both Gregory and Freddy were able to wait out the blackout without the moon tracking them down. Yet, Gregory could tell the elusive daycare attendant was still close by. Gregory pondered how the moon always knew exactly where he was every time the lights went out. After all, how was it possible that Officer Vanessa struggled to find him, yet in a brief 5-minute interval, the moon had pretty much narrowed down a fairly accurate guess of where he and Freddy were hiding. He couldn't forget the previous time the lights went out at the show stage. The moon was on him like Fazbear Entertainment is on liability insurance. Gregory didn't have an answer for how the moon always seemed to know his whereabouts, but it did make him wonder. The only other curious aspect of their journey was passing through Roxy's room. Outside her green room, Freddy and Gregory could hear her crying inside. She seemed frustrated and flustered, berating herself for being unable to find Gregory and feeling like a failure.
It's not your fault. That kid is just lucky. We should have found him by now. I'm not a loser.
While Gregory may have felt sympathetic toward his friend, he couldn't help but feel a slight sense of satisfaction seeing her tears and distress over his elusive behavior, especially when he was hiding inside of her own friend Freddy's chest. However, his expression quickly turned to panic when Freddy had entered her room, with him still inside.
Freddy, get out of my room!
They needed to pass through her room because her elevator was the only one working at Perkins Service at the moment. Roxy was visibly upset, and Freddy hurriedly let them out. Gregory couldn't help but ponder about Roxy's emotional turmoil. Given the Mimic One programming of the Endos, it was strange that anxiety and imposter syndrome seemed to be a predominant issue of Roxy's. Was this a personality quirk intentionally ingrained in her by Fazbear Entertainment? Or did they actually program her to feel self-loathing? The thought seemed cruel, but considering how the program worked, it was also possible that she just picked up those emotions from elsewhere. It was difficult to discern where the mimic programming ended and the individualism of each animatronic performer began. All except Freddy, of course. And the moon. That thing is just freaky in its own twistedly wicked way. After the lights flickered back to life and the moon retreated back to the Superstar daycare, Gregory stood at the crossroads. On one hand, Phaser Blast promised futuristic excitement and a gun, and on the other hand, Monte Golf offered a more unconventional setting with its swampy ball pits and potential hiding spots. Whichever path he chose, he knew the stakes were high, and the challenges ahead would test his courage and resourcefulness. After a brief internal deliberation, he opted for the pulsing excitement of Phaser Blast. After all, the night is dark and full of terrors, and wielding a laser gun seemed infinitely more promising than a mere camera. Gregory nestled back to the comforting confines of Freddy's chest. Once feeling constricting and claustrophobic, their reunion now made his cold metal hollow storage compartment feel as cozy as a beanbag made out of fluffy clouds. As they strolled through Rockstar Row, Gregory's increasing security clearance allowed him to navigate the utility tunnel swiftly. Add to the fact that Freddy was undisturbed by the patrolling staff bots, it allowed them a clear an unperturbed path to make their way to the atrium and in front of the lobby to phaser blast in record speed. Entering through the automatic shutter into the phaser blast lobby, Gregory found himself immersed in a retro-futuristic spectacle that bordered on kitsch. The space was bathed in the neon glow of hot pink lights emanated from caricatures of Freddy wielding laser guns, floating in a stylized depiction of outer space. The carpet beneath his feet depicted a pattern reminiscent of Saturn, with planets scattered across its surface and pinpricks of stars twinkling in between. Above him, the ceiling transformed into a vast interstellar landscape, with distant planets and celestial bodies stretching as far as the eye could see. Rockets adorned the walls in various forms, some suspended in motion as if mid-flight, while others stood as stationary as statuettes, inviting guests to take pictures beneath them. For those unable to join the fun, a small carnival wheel designed for toddlers offered an alternative, with carts fashioned to resemble UFOs, adding to the whimsical ambience of the space-themed lobby. In front of the entrance elevator, a staff bot stood guard with a tablet in hand, its mechanical gaze fixed on Gregory as he hopped out of Freddy and approached the staff bot, with a mixed confidence and apprehension. While he wasn't entirely certain this was the right move, he felt reasonably assured that this particular staff bot wouldn't pose a threat. Although the security staff were actively searching for him, the general staff bots tended to ignore him as long as he kept his distance from their duties. As for the map bot, well, Gregory had his own grievances with that particular bot, but he pushed those thoughts aside for the moment. Overall, while he couldn't shake off his lingering doubts entirely, he remained cautiously optimistic that the staff bot wouldn't impede his progress.
Halt. This attraction requires a party pass to enter.
Gregory confidently presented his party pass to the staff bot, ensuring it was held taut so no wrinkles can misconstrue what it represented. As the bot quickly scanned the ticket, Gregory noticed the subtle purple highlights adorning its joints and head for the first time. After scanning the pass, the bot turned his tablet over, performing a series of swift gestures and taps. Gregory attempted to peek at what it was doing, but before he could catch a glimpse, the bot suddenly raised its free arm into the air, shooting a burst of confetti from its fingertips. The loud bang made Gregory clench his teeth, but the silly little dance the bot did afterward only made him cringe even harder. Freddy glanced back, keeping a vigilant watch in case any other bots were drawn by the noise, but fortunately, it seemed that no staff bots or glam rocks were coming to investigate. Satisfied, Gregory turned around only to see the elevator door open and the staff bot nowhere in sight? He didn't hear it leave, and even then it would have to pass his line of sight if it rolled away, so where did it go? It's like it vanished from thin air. This place never ceases to be quirky at night. Shaking his head at the peculiarities of the place, Gregory stepped into the elevator with Freddy following close behind. The elevator was similar to the one he used to enter the atrium the first time, except this time the posters on the walls of the boxcart had advertisements hyping up the attraction it was taking visitors to. Colorful posters adorned the walls, depicting thrilling scenes of space battles and laser gun showdowns, all set against the backdrop of a futuristic space station. Speaking of which, Gregory pressed the elevator button, and the doors behind them closed promptly, followed by a sudden jerk of motion from the elevator's descent. The speakers above them played a small jingle before a familiar voice came from the ceiling.
Calling all recruits! Phaser Blast is a high-intensity space combat simulation! Suit up and save the universe as you blast everyone and everything with high-tech laser effects! Blast strangers! Blast your friends! Beat the Superstar Score and get a free Phaser Blaster gun! Enlist now!
Gregory exchanged a glance at Freddy.
That was not me. That was a recording. I want to make sure you are not confused. I'm not nearly that annoying, am I?
This is episode 35, Chica's Feeding Frenzy.
Thank you.
Like all the venues of the Pizzaplex, Phaser Blast was loud and garishly bright. Exiting the elevator, Gregory was immediately met with a waiting room that had the design and atmosphere of a space dock, where star-traveling vessels would dock and board. Behind the welcome desk were cardboard cutouts of the glam rock band in various action hero poses, each wearing a bubble helmet and wielding a Phaser Blaster. The various monitors replayed the highlights of the last game played in the arena. Kids, teenagers, and adults all had massive smiles on their faces as streams of concentrated light ricocheted from wall to wall.
Ah, Phaser Blast, sport of kings. You will need to win the game in order to receive your very own Phaser Blaster. Good luck.
Gregory began walking with Freddy towards the player entrance. However, after a few steps, he felt that something was amiss. He turned around and, to his surprise, Freddy was still standing by the entrance. Gregory motioned to Freddy, but he just gave Gregory a thumbs up. Gregory squinted his eyes in bewilderment, while Freddy raised an inquisitive eyebrow. Gregory opened his palms in confusion, silently questioning why Freddy wasn't coming in, and in response, Freddy feigned clutching his pearls.
Shame on you, Gregory. We cannot enter together. That would be cheating. I am programmed not to cheat.
The door to the entrance slammed shut, startling Gregory. He closed his eyes and bit his underlip, feeling a mix of frustration, but also nostalgia. He had been separated from Freddy for so long that he forgot about his companion's puerile behavior. Still, despite his immaturity, Gregory had to admit that Freddy's antics were a little refreshing and missed the tension. Gregory kept moving down the hallway, which was designed in a hexagonal shape, feeling like something straight out of those old alien movies his grandparents would have watched. At the end of the funnel-shaped hallway, a much more retro science fiction door opened up to a small theater where a staff bot was speaking to an audience of air. The bot was wearing a helmet made to look like the top of Freddy's head, complete with bare ears and a top hat. A see-through visor covered the staff bot's eyes, with a little divot where it would probably rest on top of a human's nose. It was also decked out in a heavy vest with a large lightning bolt and bow tie, reminiscent of Freddy's chest. As Gregory walked past, it seemed like this was a brief orientation room for players to learn the rules of the game. The staff bot was repeating some generic script to get guests excited for the game. However, because of the monotone voice of the staff bot, it came across more like a tired 9-to-5 worker reading the words line by line while imagining ropeless bungee jumping. Gregory walked through the hall and made his way down the corridor to the orange team. There, a small visor and helmet awaited. Judging from how they were designed, it looked like he couldn't take them with him, if the plethora of signs around the equipment room were any indication. And if Gregory knew anything about signs, it's that if someone bothered to put one up, it was because there was a reason they had to put it up. Freddy had said to get a Phaser Blaster, he had simply had to win a game of Phaser Blast. Inconvenient, especially since he had no idea how he was going to win a game when he was the only player there. And just as he was thinking that, Gregory watched as several staff bots emerged from a side door, each donning an orange helmet and wielding various laser guns. One of the staff bots rolled forward amongst the rest of the squad.
Hi there, Commander. We are here to even the team and take down the alien menace on the other side of the elevator. They look like us except they have green helmets on. No friendly fire. We do not tolerate noobs in this lobby.
Wait. So his opponents are going to be other staff bots? And he gets to shoot them in order to win. Gregory immediately put on his helmet.
You will be playing base attack. Capture the three enemy bases by defeating each guard and then pressing the button under the base flag. Your health points are displayed on your headset. Each time you are hit, you lose one health. Each time you capture a flag, you will regain health. If you lose all your health, you lose the game.
This was an absolute inconvenience, 100%, but it was the only way he could get a Phaser Blaster for himself to take with him. So I guess he would shoulder the burden and play a quick game of Phaser Blaster just to get through. As the accelerating beats of the Phaser Blast jam filled his ears and adrenaline surged through his veins, Gregory found himself immersed in the moment. For a fleeting instant, he let go of his worries and fears, allowing himself to be consumed by the excitement of the neon-lit arena. In this pulsating environment, he could temporarily forget about the looming threats and uncertainties that surrounded him, focusing instead on the thrill of the game. The Phaser Blaster Dome was a two-story labyrinth, with walls decorated and modern hieroglyphics. Gregory pondered a bit if they were actually a language that Phasma Entertainment had made up, or if it was just a pattern of symbols that the artist thought looked nice. Still, they tickled his curiosity, and he couldn't help but think the concept itself was somewhat familiar. Probably a writing assignment at school, that he and the rest of his three amigos wrote, or more specifically, he should say, Tony wrote. A couple of his team color staff bots rolled past Gregory, their phaser blasters extended in front of them. Up ahead, an entourage of alien bots rolled out from the walls ahead of Gregory, muttering the word, "Capture the flag." Gregory took cover behind the half wall and watched his teammates get obliterated with laser shots from the aliens. As he narrowly avoided getting caught in the line of fire, Gregory's mind briefly drifted to the thoughts of Tony. He wondered how his friends were doing. He couldn't quite recall the last time they had all met up, but he knew there had been some tension between him and Tony, especially after their last disagreement. Tony had always been the best at unraveling mysteries, the problem solver of the group. Ellis, on the other hand, often found himself creating problems, while Gregory played the role of mediator, hopping back and forth between the two to keep the peace. If only they were here with him now, he thought. Perhaps they, together, could figure out the situation. As the alien staff bots passed by his hiding spot, Gregory seized the opportunity and launched a surprise attack. He unleashed a hail of laser fire, targeting each bot's eyes with precision. The first time he shot a staff bot, he was surprised to see how it reacted. The bots disintegrated before his eyes, their joints, limbs, and head detached from their bodies, as if they were point-assembled toy figurines being squeezed too hard. With determination fueling his every move, Gregory dashed forward, leaping over the shrapnel of his fallen comrades towards the final flag. Concealed in the farthest corner from his starting point, the flag was fiercely guarded by two more of the alien staff bots. With a dramatic tumble, Gregory launched into action, unleashing a dazzling display of laser fire. His precise shots dispatched the two bots in a flurry of sparks, and they disintegrated. With the threats neutralized, Gregory reached the flag and triumphantly claimed it for his team. As celebration horns blared, a large victory graphic illuminated Gregory's game visor. Overcome with elation, he almost instantly raised the Phaser Blaster and almost spiked it into the ground in his triumphant jubilation. However, he quickly restrained himself, realizing the potential consequences of damaging Fazbear property. The staff bots were playing nice now, and he didn't want to change that. With a satisfied grin, he instead lowered the blaster, relishing in the moment of victory and the sense of accomplishment that washed over him.
You have defeated the alien army. Good job, Space Cadet. Proceed to the winner's elevator for your reward.
Well done, Superstar. You won the Phaser Blaster. Now, go collect your prize from the Superstar Lounge.
Next to Gregory, a false wall opened up, and a couple of staff bots with mobs escorted by what floor bots started to emerge out for them. It was probably best to make his leave now that more staff bots were approaching. He swiftly made his way back to the exit elevator, removing his visor and vest along with his Phaser Blaster and tossing them into the return bin. He ascended to the third floor of the arena. Greg noticed there were some observation windows while he was playing. He thought it was for parents of friends as well as just onlookers waiting for the next game. But when the elevator doors opened and Gregory trotted down the lime-lit hallway, he reached the end where a glamorous penthouse awaited. Well, perhaps glamorous was a bit of a stretch. The place appeared neglected, with empty pizza boxes and half-empty soda cups scattered about. However, beneath the mess laid some enticing amenities for the victors to enjoy. A cushy couch offered comfortable seating, a direct line to order pizza whenever desired, and the windows offered an unobstructed view of the Phaser Blast Arena. Yet the most appealing feature of all was a golden Phaser Blaster displayed prominently on a mantle. Gregory grabbed it. It fit perfectly in his hand. Now, all he wished he had was a holster so he could be a space cowboy. Unfortunately, the only cowboy attraction the Pizzaplex had was closed down. It's a shame, too. There probably would have been plenty of useful tools in that place, and he had a feeling that Freddy would have liked it. Gregory shrugged and looked around the neglected penthouse. He had already traversed the Pizzaplex and scavenged a fair amount, so why not search through this mess like a raccoon for anything else useful? Tossing aside pizza boxes and chicken beneath tables and chairs, he scouted for any overlooked treasures. However, aside from loose change and lint, he didn't find much of value. Gregory stopped in that thought and looked at the comfortable couch in the corner. He tossed aside the pillows, then the cushions, and then he smiled. Favor fortunes the curious. Or fortune favored the inquisitive. Never mind, he found something very interesting. A small party pass, only this one had a picture of Bonnie the Bunny, balancing and spinning a bowling ball on top of his finger.
What amazing luck! You got an annual Bonnie Bowl Unlimited Pass! Free bowling for a whole year! Mega Pizzaplex entry not included, shoe and ball rental fees still apply.
Gregory rolled his eyes, but inwardly he was genuinely excited. Normally, obtaining a bowling pass wouldn't have been such a big deal, as his security passes were typically more valuable for navigating the Pizzaplex's security systems. However, since his departure from Parts and Service, Gregory had taken the time to pursue all those messages concerning issues with the Glamrock animatronics, reading through them as Freddy escorted him to Phaser Blast. One of the messages, seemingly from upper management, expressed concerns about Chica's gluttonous behavior. Gregory was already familiar with how she would devour trash, but it seemed she had developed a particular fondness for something called Monty Mystery Mix, a flavoring concoction made by Fazbear Entertainment. And whatever the syrup was composed of, it was like catnip to her. And with that, a plan formulated in Gregory's head. He knew that Chica was always distracted by food and trash, both of which were likely to be abundant in the main kitchen. If Chica was likely to be anywhere more than usual during her patrol, it would probably be there. If he could sneak into the kitchen, he could discreetly place the Monty syrup in the trash compactor, lure her inside of it, and then activate it to deactivate her. It would be risky, but it seemed like his best chance of getting rid of Chica. A loud metallic slap came from the side of the couch. Gregory glanced toward the sound and noticed that a vent grate had just fallen off its hinges. He didn't hear anything come from it but a rush of air. He moved over to the fallen cover and quickly noticed that the grate screws were bent. They were placed in just enough that it would stay hanging over the opening of the vent shaft, but could easily be removed by someone who knew about them. Gregory bent down and looked into the vent.
Where does this vent go?
With a mixture of trepidation and determination, Gregory squeezed himself into the vent and began his journey through the dimly lit shaft. As usual, the shaft was lit up by security lights, so he thankfully could see where he was going. He just hoped that another one of those immune music men wasn't going to drop down and try to snack on his face. After about a minute or so of crawling, Gregory finally made his way to the end of the vent chute. The exit here was once again open, and just like before, its screws were manipulated, so that someone could have a fairly easy access to go in and out from here. Standing back up, Gregory took in his surroundings, and immediately recognized that he was in a higher position above the Phaser Blast Arena than when he was in the penthouse. He didn't spot them when he was down there, but he was standing on a catwalk that spread itself across the ceiling of the arena. On the opposite end of where Gregory stood was a fire escape, hidden behind one of those false walls that those cleanup bots came out from. Where Gregory had emerged out of was closer by an employee entrance to the catwalk, which appeared to be a security office. Gregory walked up to it, but the office didn't budge, likely because it did not have enough cleaners to get in. But there was a glass window slit to peer inside of it, just above his head. Gregory got on his tippy toes and looked in. Unlike the other security offices he went into, this one looked, well, like crap. It was sparse of furniture, and trash was spread all across the floor. The door on the opposite side was out of order, and graffiti signage plastered all over it. Speaking of graffiti, this place had tons of purple spray paint all around it. It spread itself across the black and white tile floors, around an isolated decommissioned arcade cabinet called Princess Quest 3, and what looked to be a security desk that was missing a couple of monitors. A glint of light caught Gregory's attention in the corner of the room, drawing his gaze. As he shifted his position for a better look, his eyes widened in surprise. The glint emanated from a sharp knife, resting on a pillow atop a mattress tucked away in the corner. Above the mattress, the walls bore the word Vanny, scrawled in the same purple spray paint. He needed to tell Freddy about his findings. He knew who this room belonged to now.
Freddy, that rabbit lady's in a secret room above Bowser Blast. It looks like a hideout. I think her name is Vanny?
Vanny. It is very similar to Vanessa, and also Bunny. That cannot be a coincidence.
Freddy was right, although Gregory was already a few steps ahead of him. Unless this is the coincidences of all coincidences, then that crazy rabbit lady hunting him down and the security guard sicking the entire mechanical horde after him were one in the same. Guess it would explain how he never saw them in two places at once, but what it didn't explain was everything else. Gregory realized that Vanessa, or rather Vanny, harbored a desire to kill him. Now that he knew her alter ego, it explained why he had felt threatened by her in the first place. But did he know this before? His thoughts churned like a turbulent sea, struggling to dredge up memories buried deep within. It felt as if he was clawing at his own mind, trying to unearth something hidden. However, his memories resisted, steadfastly guarding whatever secrets lay locked away. Gregory understood that he needed more time and information before he could fully unravel the mysteries concealed within his own psyche. But with his newfound knowledge relegated to the recesses of his mind, Gregory refocused on his immediate mission. He couldn't afford to be distracted by the revelations about Vanny for right now. Now, he had to shift priorities to a different rabbit's domain altogether, and it was located in the Pizzaplex's bowling alley. Into the Night will be right back after these messages.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Management report. The bowling alley needs a retheme. While most of the Bonnie art was removed, kids keep asking, where is Bonnie? Do we even have an officially approved response yet? Or are we just supposed to stare at them blankly?
As Gregory and Freddy stepped out of the elevator into Bonnie Bowl, Gregory's eyes were immediately drawn to the array of displays showcasing trophies and colorful bowling balls. Lockers lined the walls, inviting guests to store their belongings securely. Plush couches provided a comfortable spot to relax between games, while nearby rides for toddlers added to the family-friendly atmosphere. In every corner stood a fizzy fast machine, ready to dispense refreshments to thirsty bowlers. It was a far cry from most bowling alleys Gregory had visited in his life, where the floors were often drenched or sticky, and the pervasive aroma of cigarettes lingered in the air. Two shutters caught Gregory's attention as Freddy explained in a quiet tone that One led to an arcade section, and the other to the bowling alley itself. Despite being nestled in Freddy's chest, Gregor could still catch the enticing scent of hot pizza wafting through the air. He flicked on his watch and began to peruse the security cameras in the area, scanning for any signs of danger or unusual activity. Gregory noticed the restrooms, guarded by caution bots, and the mini-tables scattered around for the convenience of Pizplex guests. Advertisements promoting pizza caught his eye, promising a hot and faster fresh experience. Gregory knew what that meant. He had read about how Fazbear Entertainment used some form of instant oven that was like 500 degrees. However, it had been a while since he had last ate, and his stomach was rumbling in anticipation. Perhaps he would have to sneak a slice or two when he made his way to the kitchens later, after he spatchcocks a gourmandizing chicken. As Freddy walked into the main bowling area, Gregory counted about 22 lanes, each with racks of bowling balls neatly organized for players' use. It probably was an exciting venue when fully packed, and amidst the excitement of knocking down pins, guests could then partake in a sweet treat at the bowling alley's ice cream parlor. The parlor itself was intriguingly designed, resembling a retro diner but with a futuristic silverized aesthetic. If the robots behind the counter didn't already do the job, of course. The staff behind the counter consisted of staff bots with playful plastic red pigtails and dresses, efficiently cleaning up the parlor for the night. One bot was rinsing off an ice cream scooper in the sink, while another was busy stacking fresh cones in the containers. A few bots were seen shuffling back and forth from the back doors in the corner, likely coming from the parlor's storage area, where Gregory suspected the Monty Mystery Mix was stored. Gregory hopped out of Freddy's chest. It didn't appear like this area was being patrolled by Vanny or the other members of the glam rock band. As long as he didn't interfere with the parlor bots, he should be able to move freely. Trotting across the parlor's red and white checkered tiles, he made his way to the back end of the parlor, passing by an out-of-order stage. Gregory opened the back door and started to scrounge around. Luckily, it didn't take him long to find where the Monty Mystery Mix was stored. Chico was the shortest out of all the glam rocks, and the mix was being stored on the top shelf, right next to a corkboard with a paper plate pal made to look like Bonnie. Gregory probably wouldn't have taken note of it at all, hadn't it looked so old. It was practically being held together by threads at this point, and it was caked with some strange lime-like dust. Gregory was small and light enough that he could stack a few boxes on top of each other to reach Monty's mix. Despite this, Freddy probably could have reached it all by himself. He was the largest glam rock by far, and would probably have to duck walk to even stand in this room. Gregory shook his head, wondering why Freddy wasn't in the back rooms with him. Maybe he was standing guard outside? He always had Gregory's best interest in heart, so it was probably a good idea for someone to keep an eye out. Gregory bounced his way up onto the box until he could just barely reach the top shelf. He grabbed one of the packages in the cardboard box they were stored in. It was a gel-like pack with a squeeze tip, yet somehow it was still sticky on the outside. Gross. Gregory pocketed the gel pack, making sure to place it in a pocket that didn't have anything else he was going to touch or add on to later on, and creaked the door to the parlor back open. He expected Freddy to be standing in front of the door, like a bouncer at a club, but he wasn't there. Gregory peeked out further and saw Freddy standing in front of the out-of-order show stage. Freddy had been aloof ever since they got to Bonnie Bowl, and while it was difficult to tell because of his plastic features, Gregory believed he had gotten good enough to read Freddy's face and recognize an emotion of grief overcome his normal, joyful resting face. Gregory was about to ask if Freddy was okay, but he responded to Gregory's presence without looking away from the stage.
I do not come up here anymore. I miss him.
Freddy raised his arm and took a cloth full of the curtain into his hands. His sharp, light blue fingernails traced the linen pattern sorrowfully.
My superstar.
Gregory made a side frown. When he and Freddy traveled over to Bonnie Bowl, Freddy's previous statement about the fact there were no rabbit characters in the Pizzaplex piqued his interest. It was indeed odd that a venue within the Pizzaplex had a mascot without a corresponding animatronic character. No other place in the Pizzaplex operated that way. So why was Bonnie Bull inconsistent? While Freddy made his way to the Bonnie Bull entrance on the third floor of the atrium, Gregory used the time to look into the employee emails to see if there was an answer to whatever happened to Bonnie. Gregory thought the reason was because of the character's history. Both Bonnie and Foxy had some colorful past, even if Phasma Entertainment tried to dissuade the public's apprehension of them. Gregory didn't know much, but he knew enough that he remembered that one of the company's original founders, William Afton, was speculated to have committed several child murders on the premise of the original Freddy Fazbear's pizzerias, only he did so while adorned with a yellow Bonnie suit to gain the children's trust. Gregory's brow furrowed as he pieced together the information from the emails. So there had been plans for glam rock Bonnie to debut at the Pizzaplex, but some accident had sidelined him, leading to Montgomery Gator stepping in as a replacement. The transition must have been smooth enough that Monty became a permanent fixture, leaving Bonnie decommissioned and relegated to storage, probably right next to the original glam rock Chica. Gregory remembered when Chica used to be yellow and still retained her talking cupcake up until she was replaced by a more pro-fitness version of the character. It was a sad fate for the mascots, overshadowed by the replacements and left to gather dust in obscurity. Gregory couldn't help but feel a pang of sympathy for the forgotten animatronics. It was indeed a shame what had happened to Bonnie and how different things might have been if he had been able to debut alongside the other Glamrocks. Perhaps he would have been a bit more understanding, like Freddy, and able to sympathize with Gregory's situation. Freddy turned to Gregory, stomping over. Freddy kneeled to meet Gregory at eye level.
Monty's Mystery Mix. The mystery is the pizza flavoring.
Gregory chuckled, but he could tell Freddy was trying to put on a show of jovialness to break the ice. He played along. He didn't want Freddy to dwell on losing his friend. Freddy opened up his stomach hatch and Gregory nestled into Freddy's chest cavity, feeling the comfortable hum of his mechanical friend's system. Now fully armed and equipped, he can head to the kitchens to take out Chica. Freddy began moving, but faltered when both he and Gregory heard the sound of shifting metal. It wasn't like one of the staff bots. It sounded... Oh no. Gregory pulled out his Fazwatch and looked at the cameras. He flicked through them until he got an unobstructed view of the Bonnie Bowl lanes. From behind the pin setters of the lanes, several naked endoskeletons crawled out. Some crawled on the floor, knocking over the pins to the sound of several bells ringing for unearned strikes, and others began to lash themselves to the walls and up onto the ceiling.
Go! Go!
Glamrock Freddy began sprinting out of the bowling alley. Gregory looked at the watch to see the metal horde begin to crawl and limp over to Freddy. Freddy turned his head as he ran, but the endoskeletons didn't stop. They wouldn't stop for Gregory either. He needed to actually physically see them with his own eyes, not through the lens of the cameras, and apparently, Freddy's eyes didn't count either. Freddy kept running, making large leaps and bounds and large stumps trying to outrun them all. Eventually, they got to the hallway with the elevator back to the atrium. Freddy grabbed one of the nearby trophies and threw it at the elevator call button. The trophy fell apart on impact, but the button was thankfully pressed, albeit now barring a cracked surface now. When Freddy finally made his way to the end of the hall, the doors opened in time. He swiveled his torso around, and Gregory used it as a perfect time to open his stomach hatch. His eyes finally locked onto the horde. They all froze in place. Gregory felt his mouth go dry. There had to be at least 40 of them. He could see some in mid-shamble, some were clinging onto the ceilings, and some were even crawling along the walls. Freddy leaned slowly, clearly also bewildered at what was going on, and began spamming the elevator close button like a task bot. Gregory kept his gaze out on the hallway up until the elevator doors finally shut, then cringed as he heard the sound of several metal fingers clawing and scraping at the doors before dissipating as the elevators descended back to the atrium. Into the Night will be right back after these messages.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Attention, once again, kitchen staff. Parts and Services is concerned that Chica will suffer heavy damage if she ever gets caught in the trash compactor. Always double-check the compactor before use. Do not use the compactor to dispose of pizza, pizza-flavored items, or pizza-scented materials. Just don't throw anything away you think is remotely Italian. This includes Monty's Mystery Mix, by the way. Just do your job, keep your station clean. Otherwise, your replacement costs will come out of your paychecks. Management, once again, thanks you.
Well done. You are near the fizzy vest here, Fat. You should be able to find your way to the main kitchen from here.
Gregory found himself skulking alone in the back rooms of the Pizzaplex, navigating through the utility tunnels made the trek easier. Without access, he literally had to spelunk the vents, and so far, most of them had been clogged by many music men. Currently, Gregory found himself in the Serp Vat room, where the various Fazbear brand colas were churned and concocted. As he traversed the catwalks in the second level of the room, he observed the areas where employees would typically dump chemicals and ingredients into each cistern during the day. There were approximately 6 large tanks interspersed between each catwalk. Each vat was adorned with the spray-painted Fazbear Entertainment logo. Once a fan of soda, Gregory now questioned whether he could stomach it again as he gazed upon the vats. They resembled grain silos in their size and industrial appearance, emitting a cacophony of noise. The thick mixture inside churned audibly, producing a disgusting schlop and pucker sound. While Gregory desperately wished Freddy could be here by him, if he knew what he was up to back here, he feared Freddy would... Well, he didn't know how he would react. And that's what made him scared. For his plan to work, he needed Chica to be alone and distracted. And he doubted Freddy would stay silent if he witnessed Chica stepping into the trash compactor. He imagined Freddy would scream or gasp when the compactor crushed Chica's animatronic skull. If he was going to decommission Chica, he had to do it alone, without Freddy's presence. To account for this, he had Freddy head back to Parts and Service to double up on the barricade that the engineers had made. It was evident from the incident with Bonnie Bull that the animatronic endoskeletons could escape now, and Gregory was determined to prevent any further breaches. Freddy seemed genuinely surprised when Gregory shared what he had discovered in the warehouse and the ordeal he had endured to obtain the security clearance for Parts and Service. It appeared that Freddy had been unaware of the daycare's existence, which made sense if Freddy had been built before the use of the Mimic One program, and therefore, prior to the daycare's installment. Fortunately, navigating through the facility was much smoother now. Gregory had become adept at dodging the security staff bot's patrols, and it seemed that the Glamrocks were now dispersed, likely due to Vanny's awareness of Gregory's multiple security clearances. In the kitchen area, Gregory made sure not to disturb the chef bots working in the background. They resembled ordinary staff bots, but with the addition of chef hats and aprons, along with being covered in flour and various sauce stains. Despite the nauseating sounds emanating from the servant vats, and the unsettling knowledge of how some of the food served in this place was being made, Gregory could not deny that it smelled delicious back here. The aroma of freshly made pizza lingered in the air, even after hours, accompanied by the sweet scent of funnel cake and cinnamon icing that tickled his nose. However, he couldn't shake the suspicion that this pleasant scent might be artificially enhanced, perhaps by technology designed to manipulate human olfactory senses. Gregory recalled Tony mentioning smell-tizers used in large amusement parks, devices that release scented substances into controlled airflows to trigger human smell receptors, evoking memories of delicious food and potentially boosting sales numbers of comestibles. Gregory shook his head, pushing away distracting thoughts of Tony. He needed to stay focused on skulking around and reaching the main kitchen room where the trash compactor was located. It wasn't time to dwell on memories or unrelated thoughts. At the end of the catwalk, Gregory discovered another security office, designed to serve as both a checkpoint and a vantage point for upper management to oversee the operations below. The office boasted a window frame along the upper walls, angled to provide a clear view for those on the second floor to observe the chef bots bustling about, while the general staff bots carried canisters of ingredients and organized various tasks. It was a classic scene of hierarchical oversight, with the workers below gazing up at their superiors, ensconced in their glass-walled offices. Yep, sounds like Fazbear Entertainment. Gregory flinched as he glanced back and saw Glamrock Chica shambling over the catwalk, her dead plastic eyes fixated hungrily on him. He had anticipated encountering her in the kitchen area, but not this soon, and certainly not with him trapped in the security office. With a quick turn, Gregory located the button to close the secure doors and slammed the door shut with a reassuring thud. However, his relief was short-lived as he noticed the ominous glow of a battery indicator flash into life. He cursed inwardly. Gregory forgot the secure doors in the Pizzaplex all ran on their own battery supply. Freaking cheapskates. Well, luckily, he could escape out the other... Oh no. Panic surged through him as he realized there was no other exit in the room. It was a one-way entry, and Chica was now pounding on the door with increasing ferocity.
Freddy, are you there? I'm trapped! Chica found me, and there's only one security door!
How unfortunate. But I have good news. It looks like you can access the Fazbear Online Pizza delivery system through that console.
What? How is that supposed to help?
Chica loves pizza.
Gregory chuckled grimly to himself, acknowledging the irony of the situation. Indeed, Chica's appetite was legendary. Even a shoe with mold might have tempted her if it looked appetizing enough. Food had always been a reliable distraction for her, and now it seemed like it was his only hope. He tapped the monitor in front of him, bringing up the Mega Pizzaplex website, where Helpy, dressed in a stereotypically bordering on the offensive Italian chef outfit, was cheerfully presenting a pepperoni pizza. Despite his doubts about the delivery arriving in time, Gregory knew it was a better option than attempting to escape through the broken window and risk an injury on sharp glass below. Gregory tapped the Order Now button.
Welcome to Freddy Fazbear's Mega Pizzaplex Quick Delivery Virtual Ordering System.
Holy crap, this announcer AI is everywhere.
Congratulations, you have qualified for a free Supreme upgrade. Additional charges may apply. Let's get started.
The window loaded onto a new screen. It looked to be a live stream of some sort, but the camera was all wonky, with the purple-blue grid consistently flowing at the edges. At first, the view seemed oddly familiar to Gregory, until he realized he was looking at the main kitchen from the perspective of a chef bot. He could see the metal hands of the bot holding a pizza pan with freshly flattened pizza dough already prepped, ready for toppings.
You are now in control of one of our highly qualified pizza-making staff bots. Follow the instructions on the left side of your screen to force the bot to make your perfect mouth-watering pizza.
Gregory stared down the keyboard, feeling the weight of urgency pressing against him. With only a few minutes, or possibly less, to accomplish this task, he realized he had to act quickly. But as he looked down the keyboard, a wave of uncertainty washed over him. How was he supposed to work this thing with no instructions?
Hey Zoomer, you familiar with WASD? Use that modern gaming knowledge you chose to absorb instead of your textbooks for something useful for once.
Okay. Using the WASD keys, he was able to move the staff bot in all directions.
Have you not made a pizza before? This delicious Fazbear pizza dough TM needs some amazing original Fazbear tomato pizza sauce TM.
Gregory guided the surprisingly sassy robot throughout the kitchen until they locate the sauce dispenser. Positioning the robot strategically, he ensured that the dough was aligned perfectly beneath the nozzle. As the machine warped to life, emitting a grumble sound reminiscent of a malfunctioning garden hose, thick and chunky sauce spurted out, coating the pizza dough in a surprisingly generous layer for Fazbear Entertainment.
How would you rate your experience so far?
Damn it, pop-up ads were covering the screen now.
Hey kid, your pizza has got sauce now. Are we going to put some cheese on it, or are you lactose intolerant or something?
With a few swift taps, Gregory dismissed the ads and resumed control of the chef bot, definitely maneuvering it towards the cheese dispenser. Luckily, this task proved to be straightforward, and he watched as the creamy cheese smoothly cascaded onto the saucy surface of the pizza. Now, all that remained was to add the pepperoni and whatever non-meat toppings were available. Gregory didn't dwell on the latter, he didn't want to know what non-meat toppings meant. His focus was solely on completing the task at hand.
Probably the best move to make, the last person who ate this stuff by itself got salmonella. Then again, they would probably catch something if they ate something made by a kitchen noob like you.
Okay, wow. Well, the only thing left to do was to put the pizza through the Insta oven. Gregory hurriedly directed the chef bot to the back of the kitchen, where it smoothly deposited the pizza into the oven. Glancing back at the battery pack, he noted with some concern that it was down to about 20% charge. Meanwhile, the insistent ticking of the Insta oven's timer filled the air, growing louder and louder with each passing moment. The door popped open with a ding, and freshly cooked pizza came out. Even up here in the office, he could smell the waft of delicious pizza coming from the steamy oven machine thing.
Delicious. To ensure a safe and timely delivery, our cutting-edge pizza tracker allows you to deliver the pizza to your own home or residence. Additional mileage charges may apply.
Pots and pans clattered to the ground, and the cacophony of noise that reverberated throughout the kitchen. You couldn't see Chica on the screen, and that worried him even more. Was she lurking somewhere out of view, waiting to ambush him? Or had she found another way to reach him? Sweat beaded on his forehead as he frantically considered his options.
Chica, please. This pizza is for the hungry customer.
Pizza!
On the screen, Gregory saw the staff bot turn to his left, and there was Chica, standing in an awkward stance and looking absent-mindedly on the floor. She tilted her eyes up, and then her head followed slowly, twitching just a bit as it made eye contact with the staff bot. Then in a blink of an eye, Chica made two strange steps with the bot and tackled it to the ground. Gregory gasped as he watched Chica's sudden assault on the chef bot. The robot crashed to the ground with a metallic clang, his mechanical limbs flailing in an attempt to fend off the attack. Gregory knew he had to act fast. With Chica preoccupied with her meal, Gregory stealthily made his way toward the trash compactor. He had to be careful not to make any sudden movements or noise that could attract Chica's attention. He looked around for the trash compactor and found it. He was expecting a small chute, one of those slots in the walls the size of a cabinet. Instead, the trash compactor was as big as a garage for a car, maybe two. Garbage was piled high, right next to the kitchen where they were making food. No cover, no full wall, or slide to impede the germs or smell, because OSHA guidelines are merely suggestions at the end of the day. Glancing over his shoulder, Gregory observed Chica engrossing her pizza halfway through. From his back pocket, he retrieved the Monty Mystery Mix packet, deftly removing the cap and dispensing its green, slime-like contents into the nearby trash. Surprisingly, the substance emitted less of a foul odor than anticipated, yet it still churned his stomach uncomfortably. Once the entire pack should have been expelled, he swiftly retreated behind the Insta oven, positioning himself next to the compactor's controls. Glamrock Chica's heavy footsteps reverberated throughout the kitchen, causing the appliances to tremble with each mechanical stomp as she advanced towards the compactor. Gregory observed her approach, noting the artificial gleam in her eyes as she anticipated the feast before her. With a voracious hunger, she knelt beside the compactor and began to greedily consume whatever trash she could find coded in the Monty Mystery Mix. Gregory gazed up at the compactor, feeling the urgency of the moment. With determination, he scanned for the control panel and swiftly located the button marked Trash. Pressing it, he anticipated the satisfying descent of the compactor's top smasher. However, his hopes were dashed as the mechanism jerked and then halted abruptly. A large plank of wood stood upright at the back, stubbornly clogging the trash pile and impeding the compactor's descent. Chica glanced upwards. She turned her head and looked behind her, then kept turning, smoothly doing a full 180 degrees with her head. Gregory hid behind the compactor console. You could see Chica still twitching her head, and it looked even more unsettling now that she was wearing her own backwards. Satisfied, Glenmark Chica resumed her feet in the garbage, but not without shuffling herself back unnaturally, ensuring she was no longer in the compactor's trajectory. Gregory realized he only had enough of the Monty goo for one shot at this risky plan. Despite her seemingly mild state, he doubted he could deceive her twice. Though, considering her tendencies, perhaps he could. Nevertheless, if the compactor managed to snap that plank of wood, all of his bait, the trash, would be lost. Gregory couldn't believe he was resorting to such drastic measures, but he steeled himself and acted swiftly. Sneaking up behind Chica as silently as possible, he lunged forward and shoved her into the pile of trash. A bedlam of uneaten food and wrappers filled the air, accompanied by squishy wet sounds as Chica gasped in surprise. Quickly regaining her composure, Chica launched herself at Gregory, who instinctively flinched and shielded his face with his hands. The compactor slammed down. Gregory watched in shock as it crushed Chica right before his eyes, the force of the impact nearly knocking him off his feet. With a sense of dread, he looked down as the compactor lifted, revealing a cracked and damaged Glamrock Chica. Surprisingly, she wasn't as badly injured as Gregory had feared. While her shell bore some cracks, she remained largely intact. With a fierce grip, she lashed onto Gregory, dragging him closer with one hand while her beak emitted an unsettling clicking sound, no longer functioning properly. With his hands rendered ineffective, Gregory instinctively resorted to kicking her broken beak. Once, twice, and on the third kick he aimed perfectly, causing her beak to snap off her face. Startled, Chica turned to locate her detached beak, momentarily distracted, and in that split second, the second compactor moved into action, pushing trash toward the chute. Caught between the advancing compactor and the kitchen wall, Chica struggled to resist the relentless force still clinging onto Gregory's foot. Despite her desperate efforts, the compactor's strength prevailed, relentlessly compressing Chica's head until her body finally succumbed to the relentless pressure, her eyeballs jettisoning from their sockets, while her mouth, now a mangled, scarred visage devoid of a beak, resembled a perpetual scream of agony. The words and distorted cries emitted from her broken voice box created a chilling soundtrack to her demise. As the compactor finally released its grip, Chica went limp, her mechanical form deactivated at last. Gregory had succeeded. Chica was no longer a threat. Her menacing presence silenced within the confines of the Pizzaplex. Just as Gregory allowed himself a moment of relief, the celebration was cut short. With a sudden movement, the compactor floor lifted, sending the flattened trash, along with Chica's inert form, sliding off to the side. Despite her deactivation, Chica's grip remained unyielding, dragging Gregory along with her. Frantically, he reached out for anything to hold on to, but the smooth surfaces offered no purchase. As Chica began her descent down the deep, dark red chute, Gregory screamed with all his might, knowing he was about to follow her to the unknown abyss.
Attention, parts and service team. I know corporate switching to the staff bots has been controversial ever since we laid off the service team. This doesn't mean you guys can slack off as retaliation. The security team has been getting reports of discarded animatronics and staff bots activating alarm triggers in the sewage and waste disposal system below the facility. This is a reminder that every robot that you deem unsafe for use must be completely deactivated before being thrown away. Last thing we need is an animatronic apocalypse going on now. For the time being, management thanks you.
Thus ends tonight's program of Into the Night. Will Gregory be able to survive the fall and make his way back to the surface to the Pizzaplex? What does it mean that Vanessa and Vanny are one and the same person? And will we ever get an answer to what happened to Tony or what happened to Bonnie? Find all that and more, except the last one, next time on Into the Night. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to stay updated, please consider subscribing, following, or sharing this podcast. It truly helps us broaden our reach. Consider following us on our Twitter at Fazbear Podcast, joining our Discord, or supporting us on our Patreon or merch store using the various links in the description of this episode. I have been your host, Nick Black, and I would like to thank you all once again for listening. Have a good night, and drive home safe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.